Welcome along to the Wise Man Say podcast. We are back to discuss the departure of yet another Sunderland manager or head coach. Let's get on with it. Join myself, Stephen Goldsmith, as always. Here's Gareth Barker. Evening.
Good evening.
Do you know off the top of your head how many of these we've done?
Podcasts about managers being sacked.
Yeah.
First one would have been
We'll
Martin
work it
O'Neill,
out.
wouldn't
We'll
it?
work it
So
out.
however many managers we've had since Martin O'Neill, that many.
Right. Maybe we'll work it out. Matthew Keelan is joining us as well.
Hello. Right.
Big news, big pod requires the top dogs, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's...
Everybody else who isn't on the podcast, but the top dogs are all here. Sorry, Rick.
Something like that. Don't know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, who wants to start? Well, what were we thinking? Matt, you were at the game Saturday, weren't you? So I wasn't initially going to do this because I've not seen anything from Saturday's game, and I was going to just let some of you who'd been in the match do it. But obviously, people don't want to hear us talk about that performance or that result now. But I guess it ties in really with it. Before the try even surfaced, was the elements of the performance that gave you a sense this could be the final nail in the coffin in any way?
Well, I mean, it was just like really poor, I thought. Like, it was, I mean, the Huddersfield game was bad. And then I think obviously taking the lead on Saturday probably masked the fact that the first half was poor, really. I didn't think Birmingham were very good. And the tactic of just give the ball to Jack Clark was about as obvious as it's ever been, and he scored, but he wasn't really massively in the game. I think he had two shots. He scored one, and the other one he put on target. But we were, like, it just looks like it was going nowhere. Like, there's performances that just, like, they've got nothing to them, really. But we did okay, obviously, against Plymouth, but taken in isolation, and then the last two defeats in the space of 4 days were... It wasn't working. It was never going to work for Michael Beale. Like, inept.
I think. Do we think the you've just said Birmingham were crap there. Are we thinking, Gareth, the nature of the two defeats, but also the lack of quality from the two sides as well, has just done it as well? Because I mentioned the Huddersfield game there midweek. I was watching that, and it's the most difficult watch I think I can remember a long time watching. So I couldn't even stay engaged to sit down and watch it. I kept getting up and pottering about and doing other stuff in the house. And I can genuinely say I think it's probably League One since that's happened. I feel like previous to this manager, you always felt like we were in the game, even if we weren't playing great. And it's just those two defeats couldn't have been worse, could they? Like, we've lost the two sides we lost against was so bad. And I guess it was just going one way, wasn't it?
I think all of the... I've said on social media a few weeks ago, it's like everything that was good about this team before has been eradicated, and everything that's bad about it has been amplified. And I think we've probably seen in 11 games that he's had in charge, probably two good performances. Can't remember the other good one who was against, but we won at home.
Stoke.
Yeah, it was Stoke.
Preston we beat as well under him.
Yeah, Preston was okay for a half, and then we kind of didn't deliberately drop off. We played Stoke very, very bad. Plymouth have got a poor away record as well, but you only beat what's in front of you, and we did play pretty well in those games, but the rest of it's just been characterless dross, really. All the attacking, we've got all these young attacking players, which seems to be the whole plan, is to get these types of players in. And we've basically completely neutered them. We don't really create any chances. We don't do any. We just don't look a threat. I mean, the goal on Saturday comes from a mistake, which, you know, we've pressed and intercepted it, and he scored. But it just doesn't feel like we're like just We look like we feel like a team we might get like three chances a game, and then we have to take most of them to win the game. And if we don't, we're definitely going to concede. I mean, people talk about the Huddersfield performance under Mowbray being bad. Dear me. I mean, that one, like you say, Stephen, in the week was just shocking. And it's said again a few weeks ago, it feels like we're just in a holding pattern till the end for this manager already. And I thought it would go on a lot longer than it did. So I'm pleased it's happened, because it was never, ever a good idea.
It was a
And it,
terrible appointment. Like it
yeah.
just didn't like it. It's so like it's all very well going, oh, they've acted decisively. I know you're not saying that, Gareth, but I'm just, oh, they've acted decisively. Well, yeah, but like they did this. They knew, like, it was obvious this wasn't going to work. Like it was such a poor appointment, and they've just gone back to something that they could have done for even less money, and just given it a dods anyway. And it's like, it would have been cheaper to just go and buy someone, because now I presume they've sacked him, so they have to now pay him off. So then they give him a 2.5 year deal inexplicably. I imagine there were clauses in it, maybe. So, but there won't have been a clause that says if we sack you after 63 days. So they've obviously, they're gonna have to pay him off. It was an appointment that just made no sense. Like, you know what? Look, he came in at a time where, like, he came in the middle of a shitstorm, Beale. To be fair, like, he came in at the middle of all the Derby stuff, the Newcastle stuff, but then just delivered like a totally meek performance against them. Like, didn't bother to try and change it, and I think it wasn't helped by like the time he came into the club. But at the end of the day, he inherited a side that was, I think, sixth maybe in the league. The table's just come up on the telly here now. We're 4 points behind Coventry, who obviously walloped us in probably his best performance. But it's just like, I don't know. Like, it's just a mess, isn't it? I mean, what, like, here we are, like, third
Just,
manager. Like, it's just stupid.
mean, I just like, where's the accountability you gain for these? It's like, it's almost like we've kind of announced it on this. Or Mike Dodds is actually going to be in charge at the end of the season. Oh, and by the way, that's because we've sacked this manager that we
Yeah.
appointed 11 games ago. Just to let you know, he's not staying, he's gone now, and this man's doing it now. It's very weird, like, kind of backwards. To say, to not announce that you've sacked the manager and then gone, so and so will take charge at the end of the season. It's like going, oh, that's really good, actually. This person's going to be in charge at the end of the
Yeah.
season because we've made this decision. And it's, it's a very strange statement to not even, I mean, wish him all the best for the future is one thing, but, I don't think I've ever read, even in a more acrimonious departure of a manager, the club not thanking the manager that came in, which
Yeah,
is an
not really very
understatement.
much to
It's a
thank him
very
for,
no,
really.
but it's just a bit odd, isn't it? It's
Yeah,
like
I reckon that is genuinely the very first time since these kind of statements have been going out. I was thinking that.
yeah, that like
Do you
they
know
haven't
what? You,
thanked him at all. It's just very
I
the
know.
whole thing is just like. It's people talking about them acting decisively in this instance. Well, it took them 2 weeks to appoint this manager who was out of work and couldn't have been anywhere near the top of the list in terms of this data-led approach. It's just very, it's all just really strange. It's like this kind of thing that plays out in front of your eyes, and it feels like, we're continually hoodwinked. And maybe, there's a part of us that thinks, well, Beale might have been not hoodwinked himself, but the fact he's come out and had a go in a way about the lack of centre forward that we needed, the lack of, well, yeah, but everyone who's so much as, as soon as Alex Neil makes the comments he was making, it's no surprise that he's gone a few days later. Yeah, he took another job, but that was never going to last.
No.
And same things happened with Mowbray, and the same things happened with Beale. So it's just very, it's just a very, very odd scenario that we find ourselves in. And now it's kind of like, instead of going, well, we're going to let Mowbray go and we're going to go for somebody and he's going to do this for us and we're going to improve, we've actually killed a season in some respects. I mean, I'm not saying that. I think Mike Dodds will do a better job than Michael Beale. I get the impression the players like him.
Yeah.
And we
I
played
think
like Le
can
yeah, against Leeds were excellent, you know, and
no,
he
we were. That
that
was the best
game.
performance of the season. I know we beat
Yeah.
Southampton with five, but Leeds was brilliant because it was really
Yeah.
clever,
It was
like
like
the
a
way.
good technical game of
Yeah,
football, yeah.
I will say, and you because you've both mentioned it there by saying, "Oh, it's all well and good," saying they've acted decisively, and I am prepared to give them credit for that because we've been. And they did acknowledge that in the statement, saying we've taken accountability and changed it. Now, yes, we can really slag off the appointment, which we've done anyway. But I think this could have saved us before previously or helped things before previous people had done this. So the two that jumped to mind there, Gareth, you mentioned there, obviously we've never seen a reaction to this since Howard Wilkinson going that far back. Someone probably could have stayed up because that season had their. Identified that Wilkinson wasn't going to work earlier than they did, I think, because they had a decent squad. Some people might say, well, McCarthy did even worse when he come in. So that will be fair enough to say that. But in my opinion, they should have acted sooner than they did then. And Phil Parkinson was the other one, where quite early into his tenure, we kind of said, didn't we, that this just wasn't a good fit. It wasn't going to work, but they were stubborn about it and they dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. So I'm slag them off plenty, so I am going to say that I'm going to acknowledge that there can be praise for doing something about it. If that's a separate issue,
Yeah,
if we
no, well,
separate the two
good.
things,
Well, I'm glad it's happened because
I think he
it's
needed
a
two, three
terrible
years, to
mistake.
be
So,
honest, as well.
what was that?
Like,
Sorry, Matt.
sorry, Gareth, I didn't mean it,
No,
but
go for it. You go.
I think it needed to happen for Bale's own sake, to be honest, I think as well.
Yeah.
Like he was just finished, I think. It was never gonna work. And it just Nah. the longer it went on, like it was just gonna become, well, it probably was untenable, but it would have just become like poisonous inside the stadium and that, and like he probably doesn't need that either, to be honest. So it's just for the best, I think, that he just went. Whether he's been sacked or has walked.
When you look at it from a perspective of it's an opportunity you should never really have been presented with, based on his previous output in his other jobs. But he never looked like he enjoyed, like in it was an opportunity to enjoy. Do you know what I mean? It was I know he was under pressure, and it was, he's gonna get. He was getting stick from the outset for a variety of reasons. But at least, you could come in and take an approach where you go, look, I'm gonna back myself, and yeah, you might have some doubts about us, but just give us an opportunity
Yeah.
to, improve the team, because I believe I can do it. But it was never like that. It was almost a bit like, oh well, it's my job to kind of just make sure that everything's fine and turn it around. And, I don't know what everyone's bothered about anyway. Like, oh, what a, he's been sarcastic about our league position. He's coming out, we've got like a so many attacking players in the squad, and he's coming out saying, well, we're never going to blow teams away. Well, we have blown teams away. Like, one of the most sort of memorable and in sort of that made memorable things, and that has made an impression in our return to the championship has been we have just like at times just blown teams away because we've been too good for them. From a tackling perspective, yeah, it's some of the comments he's made through the time I know people will say, well, everything he says gets analysed. But I think that's indicative of the city scenario. I mean, look at the situation on Saturday with Hume.
Yeah.
Whatever you think about it, it's like the fact it's being talked about as a thing goes to show how it's just never going to, well, no, genuine or otherwise. If you didn't see him, did see him. The fact people are talking about it and debating it is indicative of the situation that he's in.
I agree, and I think as well, like it was quite odd that he went immediately onto his personal Instagram to kind of to say about it. It was like just you don't. It's just weird behavior from like a head coach of a football club. Like you wouldn't really do it. Like you wouldn't see anyone doing that. Like a manager really doing that. I think like his press conferences and stuff like. He, some of them in the space, he had that like space of sort of a week where everything he was saying, it was just sort of, what are you doing? Why are you saying this? It was before the Stoke game, wasn't it? When he was on about like his accent and they can't, and then he was like, I haven't worked in London for years, and it's like you have, you're just lying, and like it's just all a bit weird, and it was almost like a self-sabotage at one point thing, and how quickly can I get back?
The stuff like comparing his record and Mowbray's and stuff's just not. You just say, it was a bit like Nathan Jones of Southampton was saying similar stuff.
Yeah.
Remember that? And I did similar, very similar vibes, where he was sitting and like getting over the fence and saying, actually, I think you'll find I was one of the best in Europe for this, and
Yeah.
this. And then he was like, I think he lost his first couple of league games and like, well, it's not a good start. And they'd won two like League Cup games. He was like, oh, well, I think you're fine. I've got a 50% win record or something. And he's like,
Okay.
Nate, like, stop it. Like, I remember watching that on, like, cringing. And it was very, people from the outside must have been getting similar vibes to this.
I mean,
Sometimes you almost can't even explain it sometimes. It's like, you just look at it and think, nah, that's just not ever going to work.
do you think it's odd for to see somebody who's like, and again, don't want to attack his personality, you've never met him and don't know what he's like, but someone who comes across with such a high opinion of themselves yet have zero charisma? You don't have any, like, there's like, I literally have not watched. Honestly, to barely know what he listens like, what he sounds like. Like, honestly, I couldn't like sit and hear his voice in my head like I could another Sunderland manager, because never bothered with his press conference, because it's just like, it doesn't make you feel like you want to bother. Like,
Engaged.
it's just not, he's not in, it hasn't, he hasn't engaged. I mean, people used to say about Alex Neil, well, he's like spiky and dour, but he was engaging,
He was
like,
quite funny as well.
yeah, he's dry and he used to like give good explanations of his choices, decisions, why he wants to do something, why we did something in the game, like after games and in pre-match and stuff, and in the week, the press conferences. And it was kind of like, well, you know where you are with this guy, and it's like, that's the way he is. And then obviously getting promoted, you know, he knew what he was doing. I mean, a lot of few people had a go at that and failed.
You go back to
Which
Parkinson again, don't you? We used to say this about Parkinson, didn't we? How we're not, just don't watch his press conferences because there's just nothing, no endearing
yeah.
personal qualities there. Wilkinson again, going back even further. Sorry for like the Jack and the really young people who dare to listen to this, but similar. And you know, and some people might say that shouldn't matter, but it just does. And I know I was getting asked about this a lot on Saturday for my opinion on Bale and stuff, and I was just saying that the charisma thing, it was a word I use. It makes a difference. It's like people will put up with, it's almost like people are putting up with good form and two or three defeats in a row, bad defeats. The fans are just going to turn on you.
Yeah.
And because they've got nothing, they don't have this connection with you. And maybe the decision makers at the top don't realize that that's important, but it is. And well, like we talked about, Tony Mowbray generally was like, even the people who I can't remember any of these at the time. I can't remember anybody calling for Tony Mowbray at the time, personally, who I knew. Not one person who I knew and had a conversation with did. Now, some people are suggesting otherwise, and they said, oh, no, I do think it was time for him to go. And that's fair enough. He wasn't under the best form. But the difference is, even those people I would suggest would have said that they still liked him as a person and respected him. And that does buy you more time. And that's probably why the fans didn't turn on him, because you wanted to watch his press conferences.
I've seen some
He
phenomenal rewriting of history with Mowbray in the last sort of however long, really. He overachieved massively with that squad, and that's been shown now. The squad got weaker in the summer, and he was still, we lost more games, but we were winning more games, and we were still in the mix, and I guess we still are now, thankfully.
Remarkably.
Yeah, but again, he'd been asking for something for such a long time, wasn't being given it. He found a way to win with no striker
Yeah.
last season. And yeah, we had Ahmad, it was like exceptional talent. But I think it would be really disingenuous to be like, oh well, I'm like, oh well, I'm like. Without just, it was just like a one man team with Ahmad or something, or not nothing to do with the manager or whatever. There was, the players wanted to play for that person, and it looks like to me that the players do not want to play. And people can have debates opinion. Well, you get paid, you should be like slugging it out every week, and I'm sure they do to the best of their ability. But I mean. I challenge anyone to fit for like fake being inspired by somebody with absolutely nothing about them whatsoever. It's like a just and like nothing about him. I'm sorry, I mean, it sounds harsh and like he might be a lovely bloke and that I've never met him, but from a fan watching what you see, it just looks like, And it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is generally.
Yeah, I think like the, I mean, make no mistake, the players, there were some poor individual performances on Saturday, and they were really poor against Huddersfield. But there was no structure to anything. There was no like structure to the game. Like the goals that we were scoring were good goals out of almost nothing. Like you mentioned, Gareth, like the one on Saturday was a mistake from them. The ones against Plymouth. Like the first one, the Plymouth just couldn't set a wall properly. And it was a good finish from Maguire. And then the other two, like, there's just been more moments of brilliance, really, rather than like, there's been some moments, like, the Roushan's against Preston was a really good goal, really well worked. But again, it comes through Jack Clarke. So there just didn't seem to be, like, anything
They're
to
just
really.
spells, aren't they? They're in just around like 20-minute spells and stuff. Where like
Yeah.
again, when Tony Mowbray was there, you felt like that was our identity, and that's what I was saying earlier about when I was watching the Huddersfield game on the telly, and I was just pottering around the house because I couldn't.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't. It's too difficult to watch. I can't sit down and watch it. It's not engaged. And where at least, like I said, under Mowbray, I think there was always that undercurrent of that. Even in the games we didn't play that well, there would be like a passage of play where we'd actually get up the field quite quickly by moving the ball quickly, and you would think
definitely.
all it takes is one good sweep and move
But I think this is
or
it, and
something.
I think like as well, like when you even if we'd been poor, you'd think, oh well, we'll have 10 minutes. Like
Yeah.
just keep it tight. If it's not working, keep it tight. Don't concede. We'll have 10 minutes. Like, but
We've
we.
got the identity is slow, turgid, toothless. Characterless football. That's what we've been watching for the last few months. Last year, we were one of the most exciting teams to watch in the division, if not the most exciting team to watch. Some of the goals, some of the team goals were scored just absurd, really. I just don't think, oftentimes you get a situation where people are like, just deny what their eyes are seeing. Well, actually, no, it's not. It can't be like this. It's not like this because it must be better because we've done this. And it's like, well, actually, sometimes people make change, and it's a really bad one. And personal feeling is that this person has probably been the worst Sunderland manager in my time supporting the club. That's how I feel. Like, I honestly feel that he's the worst we've ever had.
I think it was certainly the worst decision. Like, because, I mean, whether you wanted Mulberry gone or not, if you'd been told it was going to be this,
Yeah.
like you'd, like, but it's
No.
just like a mess, isn't it, really? Like,
Well,
good.
and now, and
Yeah.
then, we've got a situation where we know what it's like when you get an interim manager, and it's from within the club. They'll be waiting. It's a bit of a trial, really, for Mike Dodds, isn't it? Let's be
Yeah.
honest. I don't think they'd hesitate if he does well, which I hope he does. They wouldn't hesitate in giving him the job. It'd probably be an ideal
We'll
scenario
see.
for them
Oh,
to
yeah.
be, to have to
Yeah.
promote that person from within.
Which,
But I
like you
feel,
say, let's all hope we're in a position where
yeah, of
that's
course.
really attractive, and that's what that's what we want. That's the ideal scenario. He comes in and absolutely smashes it, and then why wouldn't you give him the job? Like, we'll just make that clear. Before we get accused of anything.
Yeah, how many games? Are we got only got 13 games left this season?
We've got a
Have we really? That's mad.
there's
What's
not many.
where's the football gone?
It's
It's like, hello.
just gone
It's
away.
playoffs in like 2 weeks or something. What's happened?
We won't be in them, so don't worry.
No. Yeah,
Only
that's
4 points
mad.
off,
Yeah,
though,
we've got
still. That's
13, but
absolutely
we've got,
mad, isn't it,
yeah.
though, that? Like it is, it's
It
so
is,
mad.
man.
But you do,
No, it is,
you
man.
and you kind of do, but you kind of do feel like it's only that last position, don't you? You feel like the top five, even West Brom. I'm
Yeah.
saying that. I don't even know how West Brom got on the weekend, to be honest.
They got big off Southampton.
Oh well, there you go. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't know. It's maybe two up for grabs then, because the top four is out of the question for anybody else now.
I think there's two for grabs, to be honest.
So,
We have to go on a run.
we get 69 points last season to get in
Yeah.
the playoffs? So, to get 69 points from our last 13, we'd have to go at 1.7 points a game, basically 1.69 points a game.
I think you might need more than that this season.
Yeah, you probably will, but I'm just saying. So,
Yeah.
how many do you think we'd need to get in the playoffs?
I don't know what's the league looking like at the minute. Who's currently a sixth? So what have they got? Something should
So they've got
table.
51 got you into sixth. So we'll say 52, because obviously you've got to mitigate goal difference.
Yeah. I reckon you're gonna need. What was the 13 games left? You're probably gonna need.
75.
Yeah, I was gonna say 73, 75.
Let's go for 74 then.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So in order to get 74 points. So yeah, I'll do some maths.
Yeah,
Live
just need your
maths,
maths,
Chris.
kids.
Are you
Remember.
listening? Are you listening?
In every job, you need maths, kids. Just remember.
Yeah. In all walks of
So do you
life.
want? Thought you and Phil, We'd need 2 points a
I
game.
was always just watching you do, man.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we'd need 2 points a
I was
game.
enjoying the cogs, just hearing the cogs go around. Two,
No,
so
I was using my
promotion
calculator,
form.
mate. So yeah,
Sorry, we need.
you need 2 points a game to get into the playoffs, you'd probably say
So it's
from here.
promotion form we need from now on, basically.
But if we got that, it would be good, wouldn't it? Because we'd be going
I
into the
mean,
playoffs in
exactly, yeah.
promotion form.
Form in order to get
Yeah.
promoted. Yeah.
Positive.
Do we think, like, here's a question. So obviously we know from all sides looking in that this appointment was just never going to work, and it didn't, and everybody could see that for many different reasons. But what do we think the main driver was from the club's point of view? As much as what he said, or the results, or a bit of both. Do you know what I mean? Because we Mowbray, as you've just said, that was doing okay, really, this season. And we sort of have our suspicions that they didn't like him coming out and making these subtle digs about the transfer situation and about not having a striker. And he was quite subtle with it,
It wasn't even a dig, though. It's like...
No, but he was speaking the truth, yeah, but they didn't
saying,
like it.
He was saying things out loud.
Clearly, yeah.
Quiet bit,
but,
yeah.
But Michael Beale's been more direct with that stuff, hasn't he? Like, he's come straight in and gone two-footed on it. They must be in fume of that. And at least he could always go away and say, well, they called me a yes man and I wasn't. at least he can't say that, because he wasn't having any of it. He wasn't having any of it.
Well, he did.
And he was being far more direct with it by saying...
Because he made some comments, didn't he, about how actually... Again, you know... Didn't he say, like, Mundell was a striker or something, or recently?
No, I don't know.
But again, when the striker thing's just bizarre, like, so Rustin scores a few goals, starts two games, and it's like, oh, drop him now. Put Burstow in.
Because they're desperate for somebody to
suddenly
become good. I don't know. I think they're just like, hoping that one of these players are going to become better.
He's doing all right. He's like, he actually runs around and like challenges the defenders and occupies. Like, yeah, he might not. He's not gonna, never going to get your 15 goals playing through the middle. But he's going to cause bother for the centre for the centre backs and the full backs by making runs in the channels and being busy and you know he's got a turn of pace. Just leave him in. I don't understand why he'd be like, well, actually, the one thing I've got to change is that I've got to bring in this man who doesn't touch the ball for an entire game instead of the person who actually runs about a bit. That's a good.
You might as well play Hamea than Burstow, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Burstow's actually poorer than Hamea, and I know you might disagree, but I actually think he is.
Yeah, man, on Saturday, Hamea.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, I saw that.
He did.
The field of play. The whole thing's just like, I don't know, it's just like, it. You kind of know what's coming, and... Yet it's like, no matter what the level of conversation around it is, it's like, well, actually, it's not that, but it always is, and that's where we are again. It's everybody. It's like, well, people. Well, nobody wanted Alex Neil, and nobody wanted Tony Mowbray, and nobody wants Beale. So give them a chance to turn it around. All this, it's like, that's not. You're not assessing the situation that we're in. What we should be doing is, if you're changing your manager when you are sixth in the championship, you bring in somebody who is going to make you finish fourth, fifth in the championship.
They use the phrase obsessed with progression.
Well,
they use a lot of
the phrase they use. Progression is the key word. If you're getting rid of somebody when you're in one position in the league table, and you're using the word progression and saying you're obsessed with it and giving that as the rationale for removing somebody from post, then...
In the summer, I thought we'd finish 13th in the league, and that wasn't me being deliberately negative. It's looking at the fact that we've lost key players. I mean, Jack Clark's output this season in terms of goals has been way above anyone's expectation, I would say. Maybe he's expecting to get many assists, but certainly his goals, you know, has outstripped my expectation.
14, 15 goals. It's mad.
He's been outstanding, but we've had nothing really from anywhere else. You know, Job, probably our second top scorer, is he? What's he got, 5 or 6?
5 maybe.
Pick the bones out of it. I don't even know.
It's like, to be honest as well, it's quite, you know, you look at Clark's goals and like you take him out of this team and it's like
relegation battle.
Well, you are. Like, you would take Clark out of this team now And you like obviously we wouldn't be. So like if Clark got injured, we're not going to get relegated. But if you started the season without him and didn't have a replacement for him, this team is like, especially if you lose Ballard and you lose Neil, which you could feasibly lose all three of them in the summer. We're just, it's like start again because that the team is nowhere near without them. We've got like three brilliant players there. And yeah, the team plays really well together at times. It does. It puts some brilliant performances in. You know, we have blown teams away at times without that brilliance from Clark and without, you know, that individual stuff. But you take Clark out of this team and it's like, it's bottom six fodder. Like the performances they're putting in. Like it's because it's, and it is, and it's not like, it's not really an exaggeration to say that if Clark goes and we don't replay, I mean, would you trust Speakman with like millions of pounds to spend, like to replace him? I know it's impossible to replace Clark, it, you know, a man like for like, because he's like that good at this level. But do we, you know, how they're unproven in terms of doing this. So, do, what happens? You got in the summer now, you got to manage it, sort out, and now you've got you're going to lose Clark. You, quite possibly going to lose. You probably won't lose Ballard, I would say, but you're going to probably
Probably lose
lose
Neil.
Daniel. So like you've got
Might
two.
lose. I mean, I know you're not. You've got mixed opinions on him, but you might lose Patterson as well.
You might, but like even so, like so you're going to have a manager replace, and then possibly four. The spine of the team could go here. Ballard, Patterson, Clark, and Neil could go in the summer. You need a manager replace. Like they've got a hell of a job ahead of them now. No matter what happens at the end of this season, somehow we fluke promotion. That incredible. Like
They need a couple
Well, it
of
wouldn't be a
these
fluke if
players
they
who they've
did it, to
signed
be
it
fair.
to
No, but you know what I
really
mean. Like
yeah, got promoted by accident.
from this position, it would be pretty unlikely that we will
Yeah.
get promoted. With the, you know, not the league position, but just like the circus that's like kicking around the club at the minute.
Yeah, they would need a couple of these signings to really, really step up to give us the faith and confidence that like actually they can get the appropriate replacements through the door, I think.
But it
Because, like we
feels like
say, we're talking about Clark, and we've said it before. Like, let's look, we're credit where it's due. There's some good, the likes of Sergen and Alesi and stuff look like really good players, but always injured.
well, that's
And
one
then,
of the
like, Ek was hot and cold. But we've said it before, Jack Clark's not some hidden gem they found in the
no.
Conference North. He's like, he cost 10 million, a Premier League team paid 10 million quid for him quite a few years ago now. So let's just like, you know, just be a bit
You can
measured
see why.
about the success. Well, yeah. And it's taken them a while to get back at that, hasn't it? And that's a shame. And that's another conversation about the state of English football and the way you mention all the time, Gareth, that these clubs just hoard players, and this is proof of that not being helpful for players' development and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It's a
Don't know. It'd be
frustrating
interesting to
thing,
see
isn't
what
it?
happens now.
I think that part of this whole setup that we have, though, it's like, well, when we move one of these players on, we'll have somebody who's ready to maybe not be as good as them, but come in and take that chance and
Yeah.
improve to the level that, or near the level of the player that we've sold on. And then they'll be sold on, and then the next one will come in. But at the moment, it's
It's quite a gap, isn't it?
there's a massive gap. There's a massive gap.
Yeah.
I mean, Bars, as I said this loads of time, he's an in-betweener. He could be, and he on his day, and that's footballers are inconsistent. That's fine. But
He's not a replacement for Jack Clark, though.
no, there's no replacement for Jack Clarke unless it's Russian, because he plays from the left apparently. But he's a completely different kind of player. He's like absolutely. If we don't play with a nine, apparently, then, well, we do play with somebody like Jack Clarke. Well, I'm telling you, there's in terms of style, like, you couldn't get two diametrically opposed footballers. One's about, you know, work rate and running, and, you know, causing bother, being a nuisance. One's about guile and skill. And directness, running at the box. Two very different players.
We can't accept any of this. Has been. I'm not having that. Stewart's replacement's already here. Clark's replacement. No, that's not how they've told us this will work. We could go off on a tangent here and pick to pieces what they've said with the using their own quotes previously. That's not what they've said to us. That is not supposed to be a zero budget from the start. It's we'll not spend loads, but we'll invest and then we'll replace with more. That's what they've said. And so that's what look. We could let's see if they do that. They've got this. January's not great for that, because it's going to happen. That test is going to happen in the summer, isn't it? So there's just no way it's not, unless
It's a
Clark picks up
massive.
unless he picks up an injury. There's no way it's not going to happen.
This is the ultimate test now because this is the first real mass failure, I would say, the last sort of 3 months under this plan. And this is a test now because they've openly failed,
They've admitted that it's
sort of
failed.
admitted it. And now they're in a scenario like
On
you've
top of the
mentioned that
off-the-field
where,
stuff that's being blown up.
but it's not only a massive challenge in the thing that Matt's highlighted in terms of the practical side, losing the players and things like that. So say we do lose Dan Neil and Jack Clark and maybe Patterson, you're probably looking at there, 40 million quid for three players?
I think you'd probably be looking at 25 for Clark, I think.
Well, let's say being conservative, 40 to 45 million quid to bring into those players. Now that's the test, right? Because it'll be the first time under this plan that we've done that bit. So the pressure's on then. It's like when Gareth Bale was sold and Tottenham spent that money badly. And that, a slightly different scenario, yes, but that is the. And it'll come under scrutiny because not only it'll be, well, can you spend the money on the right players? Is are you going to spend the money? How will it be accounted for? Where are you going to spend the money? Whilst also looking for a new manager and actually finding those players to replace. Because if the money going in supposed to go back into the team, which is kind of the message that's been shared. Then it's a huge, you're looking at 6 months, August 19th, if we do 6 months from now, we'll be into the new season by then. It's a massive challenge, and let's hope that the setup's robust enough to cope with it. And this is going to be the real make or break of this model that we're following, and it's kind of in a kind of a sick way. You're kind of going, all right then, go on then, sell all those good players and get that money in, and let's see what you do. And it's not about wanting someone to fail; it's about thinking
Did this their
you wanted
thing,
to test you.
so
This is the test. This is that you've actually got. If you look at it from an objective point of view, if you do that in the summer, you've actually succeeded. In your first instance of doing this, that's kind of the first time you've properly succeeded. So if you want to continue to succeed, the next challenge is reinvesting that money, and doing it in a way that not only benefits the team on the pitch, but galvanizes supporters off it to believe, actually, well, we've brought this in and we've spent 7-8 million quid on this next notch up player who we believe we can sell for 40, 50 million quid, I don't know, in however many years' time, rather than going, we've got this person for free and we're going to sell them on for like seven or eight
seven
million.
players for 4 million quid and develop them, and they're all wingers, and
Yeah. We've
team.
bought seven attacking midfielders.
Yeah.
One of them has played no games of football and he cost lots of money.
Yeah.
Well, that's Michael. That was the what do you call him regime? I can't remember his name now.
Defendi.
No, the other one. Bain, Martin Bain.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Maybe
Buying
De Fante as well. I'd say
a
De
bit
Fante as well.
millions of pounds.
Yeah.
That's what
Buying Mika for £2.5 million.
actually getting dispensation to get that deal over the line because it went through after
Yeah,
the
well, yeah, it did.
just like probably never gonna play that. Like, it's really good him that he was at the club during our worst ever season for goalkeepers.
And
Just
he wasn't even going to go in the
could not
squad.
even get on the bench. Yeah. I just think like, £2 million for him. Very good, actually. We should do that again. Should re-sign him.
I think we should buy Mika again, like
I
probably.
do.
He's probably
No, I do.
available. Where is
Think.
Mika? Shall
Let
we
me.
find out?
I'll have a look.
I'll have a look now. Mika,
I would like, while
goalkeeper.
you do that,
Phil,
I'll
Stephen, Phil.
talk about the quite difficult start that Mike Dodds has in his third caretaker spell. In charge of Sunderland, because obviously after the Swansea game, which you probably expect to win, you've got Norwich, Leicester, and Southampton, so very tricky. Well, Chris's Fox has lost against Middlesbrough on Saturday. It was a bit of a blip, wasn't it? Really, considering the 10 points clear at the top, Southampton lost once in 27 games, I think, and Norwich. They're above us now. Despite hating their manager, seems to be doing all right. So it's tough stuff for old Dodgy, old Gil. And
Just laughing at one of the teams that Mika played for.
this is good. This is exciting. Did we sign him from Boa Vista?
Yeah, we did.
Incredible.
So he actually played for Benfica B.
Right, yeah.
So
Thanks. Good rep.
he after Sunderland he went to União Leiria and made
Right.
two appearances, but this is the one that made us chuckle. 2018-19, he represented B Sad. Made
Right.
two appearances for B Sad.
Right.
So,
Where is he
something.
now?
So, 2019-2022, made actually 75 appearances for Académica.
Right.
Then he went to Vitória Setúbal, which I believe, didn't we play them in a pre-season friendly?
Yeah, I rang a bell that we played
Yeah.
against them in a friendly.
And
I'll never forget David Moyes like
13
openly laughing at the
appearances.
idea that he should play when the mics went off once when I was there at the academy, and I can't remember who the key was at the time, but he said something about like struggling to play, and then so the camera, so the microphone stopped at that point. Everyone turns the devices off and stuff like that. I think it might have been Nick Barnes kind of just said, "Well, you could always play a Mika, couldn't you?" Dave, and like he went and like shook his head and walked out, and I was like, "Oh well, that's good, isn't
Quite good how
it?"
bad he must have been to not get in the squad ahead of like the camp.
But he's played. Sorry, go on.
No, just right away, like he only had like half of his body works. He couldn't dive left. Like to be worse than that must have been quite
Was he
really.
still around, kicking around then, Mika?
Yeah,
Yeah,
he's
he
only
was there.
32.
Yeah, he was
Not,
there
I
for that
mean,
whole.
in that
No,
season, was
he
he?
was there in the whole for the championship season. Yeah,
Jesus Christ, yeah. Well, I mean, this was only a couple of months after Moyes had signed him when he sort of like
like
laughed and pulled
he's
that
behind
idea. I
him,
mean,
like
he's currently
yeah,
at Moreirense or
we should
Moirarense,
probably pay considerable.
and
Well,
he's
where did
made
you tell Patterson?
no appearances.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So that's good, isn't it,
If
for
we do
him?
sell Patterson, we know where the money should be spent. Should re-sign Mika on probably a 4-year deal
They're in the top flight
of
of Portuguese football.
he doesn't play though.
Well, that's probably why they're in the top flight of Portuguese football. So there you go.
Great. Right. Right, we
So
have got off
basically,
on a massive
Mika player
tangent now.
manager probably, I think, would be the logical next step.
I would agree with
I
that. We'll
feel
see.
like he's very much in alignment. I feel like as far as alignments go, because Michael Beale was in alignment and then he went out of alignment. And now I feel as though Mika, as
Mika is
player
Daddy
coach,
Mika. I think
would
we
be in
should
alignment.
go on record as saying that Mika would be the next
Yeah.
permanent manager of
Next
Sunderland.
permanent player
So if
manager of Sunderland.
you
So you heard it here first.
did. But he didn't expect to hear that tonight.
But it's quite funny though, isn't it? Because if we did that, people, so I bet there'd be people like, "Oh wow, what a master stroke this is."
Yeah.
He's like, you know, Speakman's cooked again.
Yeah.
He's found this star, this diamond
He
in the
play for us
rough. And
before? No.
no, that was Mika the singer, played for us. Lovely. Yeah. So there you go.
Right.
Are we finished now?
Well, I
Thanks,
think
Steve.
so, yeah. I mean, no, to be
Let's
honest,
do it.
I'd stop talking because it keeps telling everyone stable my internet connection is new, keep breaking up. So I'm thinking, like, I might as well not say anything because I think I'm just going to be breaking up. That's not going to be good at all. Not to mention the tangents. So, yeah, probably good place to stop it there. Matt's going to be back later on in the week to look
I
ahead to that
won't. No,
Swansea
I'm not.
game.
I'm no. I won't. I'm going to
Will you
dart.
not? Oh, no. Whoa, whoa.
Richard,
Apologies. Apologies. Apologies.
Richard,
No.
doing that. I'm going to dart.
Okay. Okay. Rick will be doing that later on, with more reaction to this, I guess, as well, because probably more interesting. Maybe get some of your opinions on it, but yeah. Maybe we'll work out how many of these pods we've done as well for permanent managers.
I'm going to say about 13 is going to be my guess. I reckon 13.
We should quickly write. Should we quickly do it?
Oh, I don't think feel like that's a quickly thing.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll. Rick will
Actually,
come
wait a
armed
minute.
with that
Hold on, right.
information later on
Phil. Phil.
the way.
Phil, talk about something else.
What do you want to talk about, Stephen? We haven't fatigued, Stephen.
Well, sorry,
You haven't fatigued.
I don't know, to be honest, because I only ate a couple of hours ago, but we haven't really had that discussion yet. So
No.
I'll just come up to do the pod, Matt. Yeah, it's interesting how many people will still be listening now. Already
Yeah,
turned off
he's already
after the
said
tangent, and
bye.
now we're like filling with absolute nonsense.
So we're doing
But
sacking podcasts, okay?
all managers leaving, like Allardyce.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah.
Do we
Keep
still need to say
talking. Yeah.
it? Well, I thought you had the information there. That was
I know, yeah. I
I'm
don't know. It was
getting
the
there.
implica that was
Yeah.
the implication, wasn't it?
Would you like
Yeah.
me fact?
What's been your most memorable one, Matt?
What
Most
managers?
memorable,
I've
yeah.
counted them up. So how
Okay,
many do you want to
hold
guess?
on. Well, that was a clear. I hope people really didn't want to know Matt's answer to that because we've cut that cliffhanger
No, I couldn't. That's fine. Don't worry about
off. Okay, right.
I'll tell you
You well, you
next.
said 30.
I'll tell you next Thursday.
Yeah.
How many
Okay.
do you
I
think?
don't. We didn't cut the cliffhanger off either. We created a cliffhanger or something. I don't know. Right. Tell us then.
Well, how
Nine.
many? You haven't guessed?
Nine.
Oh, I'm supposed to be guessing.
Yeah, that's why I keep on saying, what do you think?
Oh God, yeah, 11.
11?
Nine.
9? 9, 11?
Nine.
13, I've gone for. And the
Yep.
answer is 14.
Oh,
We've
wow.
got 14 managers leaving, being sacked or leaving, excluding, obviously, interim
Caretakers.
appointments and
Yeah.
caretakers.
Of this world.
Of the last five
My
managers
bell.
we've had, Mike Dodds has been, well, actually, the last six managers we've had, Mike Dodds has been three of them as of today.
Just
Mike
like
Dodds, Alex Neil,
Barnacle
Tony
and
Mowbray, Mike
Barnett.
Dodds, Michael Beale, Mike Dodds. That'll be the list. So,
He's
a bit of
the Martin Allen of Sunderland, isn't he?
Martin of Sunderland, yeah.
Right, well, yeah, we want to wish Tony Mowbray all the best as well. We should say that before
Yeah.
we go. Obviously, the news that he won't be on first team duties because of a medical situation, which you can only presume what that could be, but it's obviously quite serious. There's quite something poetic that he's managed to say. He's managed to go right up until he gets his revenge on his former club by
Yeah.
beating. All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening.